Amen. Amen. Ooh, brother, why don't you come up here? Brother, why don't you come up here and give your testimony real quick? Tell them
we've been talking about doctrine. And somebody give me a doctrine of the Bible. Somebody give me a doctrine that we believe. Yeah, Brother Eric.
Eternal security.
Eternal security. Say, what is eternal security? Eternal security is that you'll never know. And once you get saved, you're always saved. A lot of churches don't believe that. They don't believe once saved, always saved. I got a bunch of verses I'm gonna have you all call some out and we'll look at them. I got a bunch of verses on it. And there's churches like you think about this. The Catholic Church don't believe you're eternally secure. They don't even believe that salvation, number one, the way the Bible teaches. The Mormons don't believe that you can be eternally secure through their religion. And they, even if you go through all their programs, do all that stuff, and you ask them, are you saved? Are you going to heaven for sure? Do you know without a doubt? They still don't know.
Right.
Jehovah's Witnesses, they just believe you're going to the ground like a dog, and that's it. And so then there's a lot of Baptists that don't believe that you're saved forever. The Charismatics, they don't believe that you're saved forever. They believe that, you know, you can lose your salvation. They believe in Matthew 24. Take your Bible, look at Matthew 24. I'll show you what they hold on to. And Matthew 24, they'll hold on to this. And it says, Matthew 24, look at verse 13. And they hold on to this verse. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. So they look at that verse. They say, see, you have to endure to the end. Say, endure to the end of what? Your life, that's what they're saying. They're saying this is your life, the endure to the end of your life. I don't have to endure to the end of nothing. I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven no matter what. If I decide this morning and say, okay, I'm quitting, I just get up and I walk out the door and say, I'm quitting. I ain't going to serve God no more. Am I still saved? Yes. Am I going to heaven? Yes. If I go down to the bar, start drinking, start drug, you say, well, that's you got a license to sin. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, okay, God says, okay, here, let me give you a license. Here. You got a license. You can just go out and sin all you want. No, that's stupid to say something like that. And they believe that. They believe you got, you know, and I had a friend of mine. I've been trying to get him come up here, Ronnie Damron. I went to church with him, and he went to a church of God. And the church of God, they taught that you can lose your salvation. And they believe that. They believe you can lose it. And Ronnie, and there, some of them churches believe that once you get saved and you go back, and the book of Hebrews tells you that, it says that once you're once enlightened and you go back, then you can never be saved again. But they add saved again in there. They add that to it. And Ronnie believed that. He believed that for a long time that he couldn't get saved again because he went back on the Lord. And once you're saved, you're saved. You say, well, can I go do whatever I want? Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. You can go out and do what you want, but you'll pay for it dearly. You'll pay, because the Bible talks about there's a law in the Bible called sowing and reaping. And you'll sow, if you sow wickedness, and you'll reap wickedness. And then you'll lose rewards. And the Bible says, look to yourself in John chapter 2, it says, look to yourself that you have a full reward, that you lose not that which you have wrought. And you don't want to lose what you've had. And you can have, you know, because the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to put all your works into the fire, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All your works are going to go in the fire, whether it be good or bad, and what comes out of the fire. And if you just had a wasted life living for yourself, you ain't going to have nothing to show for your life. I want to be able to show something for my life since I've been saved. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. Once you get saved, there's a battle goes on, and there's a battle of raging inside of us. And what happens is the one you feed is the one that's going to get the strongest. So you keep reading your Bible. You say, why do we keep pushing, read your Bible? Because you get stronger spiritually, and that way your flesh, when your flesh says, I want drugs, I want to drink, I want to do this, I want all that, the old new man inside says, no, you ain't getting it. No, it ain't happening. The new man will battle with the old man, and the new man will win. If you don't read your Bible, you don't fellowship with God, the old man, every time the old man says, I want to do this, I want to do that, he beats up the new man. And the new man can't do nothing about it because the old man is more powerful.
So the more you read the Bible, the more closer you get to God, the stronger you get, and the more you it reminds people of Jesus Christ. You look like Jesus Christ or act like Jesus Christ. But look, it says here in Matthew 24, 13, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I showed that to a guy standing right here one time. I said, that's what you believe. He was a church of God. He said, that's what I believe. He said, you got to endure to the end. And so I said, really? I said, what happens if you sin? He says, well, if I sin, I lose my salvation. And I said, really? And he goes, well, I can get it back, Gil. I can get it back. I said, so you sin how many times a day?
Yeah,
about 20 times a day. Do you get it back every time 20 times? How about if you miss something? What happens if you miss something?
Yeah.
And you forgot to confess it. And that's what some people believe. You think about this, 7.5 billion people on the planet, and over, say, 10% saved, 750 million people say, if that. And then you think about 10% of that believe, you say, that's just my calculations, but say 10% of that believes in eternal security, maybe 10%, maybe less. So you're sitting here today and you say, I believe in eternal security, and I know I'm saved, and I was going to Bible school at Tabernacle, and a guy's name was Bertie Edwards that was teaching the class, and Bertie Edwards, somebody asked him a question, said, what happens to the Jew when they didn't go take their sacrifice once a year to the temple and have a sacrifice? He said, oh, it'd be the same thing as missing church on Sunday night. No, it ain't. If somebody missed, Jesse, you mess with that thing? And somebody missed taking a sacrifice, they'd go to hell. They died in between. And you miss church, you're not going to go to hell. You're not going to go to hell. So somebody give me a verse on eternal security. Yeah. Go ahead.
Ephesians
4:30. Everybody look at it. We'll get to Carrie in a minute. Ephesians 4:30. Look at this. Reason why I'm doing this so everybody look at it. And mark it in your Bible. So when somebody says, oh, you can lose your salvation, you got this. Look at verse 28, though. Back up 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. I used to be a thief. I stole anything that wasn't nailed down. I remember going into the Chevrolet dealership one night. I dropped about, I don't know how many Corvettes and stuff. I'd stole all the wheels off the cars. Dropped them right on the ground. I had a truck with a big truck down at the bottom of the hill. I rolled the wheels down to the guys. L60s on them things. Him that stole, steal no more. I stole a transmission out of a Corvette one night laying in the ground, and the guy I remember a guy walked outside with a gun in his hand, walked around the car. I watched him. I'm laying on my back with the transmission sitting on my chest, and I'm watching this guy walk around the car. He let him steal the soul, steal no more. I was away preaching, and a guy gave me a check, and I thought the check said one amount, it was another amount. I went to the bank, and I cashed the check, and then I got to another bank to put the money in the bank, and I counted it out, and I said, this guy gave me $500 too much. So what would you do? Take it back. I told my wife, I got out, I said, this guy gave me $500 too much. I said, we're taking it back. She said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. I said, this guy will lose his job if we don't. So I went back to the bank. I walked in. I said, hey, guy, check that check. I said, cash. I said, check that thing out. Come to find out, looked like a four, but it was a nine. And the guy said, I thought the same thing, but it was a $900 check. I went, oh, man, I thought, you know, I said, I came back because I thought, you know, you gave me too much money. He leaned over the counter and said, thank you, man. I was able to witness to him.
Amen.
I got to keep the 500, too. What a blessing. Let him that stole steal no more. See, God knows your heart. God knows. You're stealing. God will take. You know what the Lord does? Even when you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. You said, well, that ain't. No, you're stealing from the Lord. I remember I told my dad one time, I said, Dad, you better tithe. I said, the Lord will get his money out of you. He goes, I don't believe that Catholic junk. And I said, as a Christian, we ought to do it because it's the right thing to do. It's an honorable thing. And I said, I started tithing when I got saved. I started giving because I was, like I said the other couple weeks ago, I was always a taker. I took from everybody, anything I could take. And what happened was when I got to the point where I started, even after I got saved, people were giving to me, giving to me, giving to me. I finally thought, man, I need to get to a place where I can start giving. I want to be a giver. I don't want to be a taker. And when I got to the place where I started giving, God started blessing me more and more and more and more. I learned it. It wasn't no preacher telling me to do it. It wasn't nobody saying, you need to do this. I did it because I wanted to make sure that's what God wanted. I checked him out. The only way you'll find out if God's going to take care of you is you got to check him out. I didn't want nobody. I don't want to take nobody's word for nothing. I wanted to check God out and see if he's real. And here is my prayers, and I give. And I started giving, and I seen God just boom, boom. I'd go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can't outgive him. He just keeps giving back. You know what? God won't give nothing to you if you know he can't trust you. And if you're going to sit there and hoard it, God ain't going to take care of you. I mean, he'll take care of you, but he ain't going to give you the blessing. You ain't going to learn. You haven't learned. It took me a while to learn because I didn't trust. I don't trust. And I had to learn to trust. And when I finally learned that, I started giving. I tried to teach kids to do that. Tried to teach grandkids to do that. Give, you know, money to the Lord. He said, well, my dad used to say, the churches don't need your money. They don't need your money. I said, Dad, it ain't giving it to the church. It's giving it to the Lord. Once you give it to the Lord, you put it in place. It's the Lord's. And the Lord, even though it goes to that church, you decide to go to that church. I said, God will take care of it, put that on your account. And my dad, I was trying to tell my dad one time, I said, about giving. He goes, I don't believe that blankety blank stuff. And he got mad. He started cussing. I said, there you go. So his truck rolled down after he said that, his truck rolled down the hill and hit a telephone pole and went through a man's fence and all kinds of stuff, tore all kinds of stuff up. And he came in the house and he wanted me to hear it. It was funny. My dad was comical. He came in the house. He said, Mommy, to my mother, Mommy. My mother goes, what? He said, I learned something today. And she said, what'd you learn? He said, I learned God's going to get his money one way or the other. I bust out laughing. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See that thing? Giving back. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now here's the verse Brother Ron just said. Grieve not. You can grieve the Lord in the middle of a service by not giving what you're supposed to give. Amen. When you're supposed to. And look, folks, I'm not after your money. You know me. I don't say much about money at all. You know me. I'm not one of them guys, get up and preach, if you guys are going to kill you if you don't give your money. I'm not doing that. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed, look at that, unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now somebody else give me a verse, Carrie. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. I'm going to show you a verse here in a minute that you can't even argue with it about eternal security. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13, and look at verse 12. That he would be should be to the praise and his glory to the first trusted in Christ, in whom also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, of whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So God, my mother, I remember as a kid, my mother used to go downstairs. She used to can pears and apples and all that stuff, and she'd put a wax on it and seal it, and that she'd seal it, get all the air out of it, and then seal that thing. And when we opened it, when you opened it after, you know, years went by, it would go, it would pop. And also it would kind of have a little pop when she got all the air out of it and sealed it. She sealed it with wax. And I remember that as a kid. We used to do that in the basement. Somebody else give me a verse. Yeah, brother.
John 10,
28, 29. That's a great verse. John 10, they said, well, you can jump out of Jesus' hand. I said, I'd like to see that. I would definitely like to see you jump out of his hand. John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And people say, well, you can pluck yourself out. You can jump out. You can jump out. I said, God's hands covered the universe and you're going to jump out. Okay. Yeah. Tell me another one. My Father which gave him me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Somebody else give me a verse, Brother Ken.
John 3:36.
John 3:36. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You don't have it, and then don't. 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 All right? Somebody else, give me a verse. Brother Eric?
1 John 3:9.
Read it. There it is. His seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. Yep, that's the verse. And I asked a guy right here one time, I said, are you saved? He goes, yeah. I said, can you lose your salvation? He said, yeah. So I showed him first, go to 1 John 3. Look what he says. 1 John 3, and he just read it. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. I asked the guy, I said, do you sin? He goes, and I said, be careful, man. If you say you don't, you're a liar. He goes, well, it says, he says, but whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. He goes, how can that be? I said, one's talking about your soul. 1 John 1:9, look at this. 1:8. 1 John 1:8. It says, if we say we have no sin, same book, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, again, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 1 John 3, it says, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. I can't sin, but I do. Old man, new man. Old nature, new nature. My new man is sealed inside. God did an operation on me. He did an operation on you. When you got saved, God operated on you. Take your Bible, look in Colossians chapter 2. This is a doctrine, folks. This is a doctrine. This is a very important doctrine, especially in Christianity today, because a lot of people believe they can lose it. Most all black churches believe they can lose their salvation. They believe you're never secure. I've talked to a couple black brothers, and one guy says, he's a big old boy. He worked for Mike Collins down there. He's about 6'10", and his name's Willie. And Willie goes to church down there, and he come out here and change tires, and Willie, he loved the Lord. I mean, he just praising God all the time. And I was standing around talking to him in fellowship, and he goes, preacher, you don't believe that damnable doctrine of eternal security, do you? I said, sure do. It's not damnable. He goes, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. And I said, brother, you can believe what you want. You can believe whatever you want. I said, but it's true. He goes, I can't believe that. Can't believe that. No way. He says, that's going to send people to hell. Send people think they're saved, they're going to go to hell. I said, no, if you're secure, you're not going to go to hell. But he argued with me about it. And I said, Willie, I'm not going to argue with you. But if you believe that, if that's what keeps you right, fine. Believe it. But I said, I know what the Bible says. God did operation on you. He says, look at verse 8 of 2 Colossians chapter 2. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it says, for ye are complete in him, complete, which is the head of the principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised. Everybody knows what a circumcision is, a circumcision for male, and that's where the seed comes from. And God
God talks about a seed being inside you. And whenever they circumcise a male, it's for protection of the seed. So it doesn't have no infection. And God, when he circumcised you, he circumcised your whole body. Amen. To put his seed inside you. That says, now are we the sons of God. It doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3. His seed is protected in us. You say, is that a license to sin? No. I knew I got saved, right? I knew something happened to me. I was sitting in a bar one night after I got saved. I was going to fight this guy. And we was talking about money. And I'm sitting there, and I was drinking. And I'm sitting there at this bar drinking. And the Holy Ghost of God was inside me and was saying, get out of here now. Get out of here now. You ain't right. You ain't right. This ain't right. I thought I was going crazy. I was going, man, what in the world's the matter with me? Oh, what in the world? I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know no Bible. I didn't know nothing. I couldn't even read. But I knew something was inside me, and so God's Spirit was there. And it says, in whom ye are also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Now look what it says, in putting off the bodies of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So your body and your soul is the same shape. Your soul, that's why people lose their fingers and their hands. They say, man, I can still feel it. It's still there. Your soul is the same shape as your body. Your spirit is something else. But your soul is the same shape. That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Because in the Old Testament, if a man's not saved, even now if a man's not saved, his soul is connected to his flesh. So everything he touches affects his soul. That's why he goes to hell. And when God saves you, he cuts your soul loose inside you. He does the operation. He cuts your soul loose from your flesh so you can't infect your soul. That's why you're eternally secure. That's why you get to go to heaven. Because if you infected your soul, you wouldn't go to heaven. You are complete in him, and which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The Holy Ghost of God comes inside you. Now look at this. Buried with him in baptism. That's not water. Baptized in the precious blood, baptized in the Spirit, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation. Notice operation. Whenever they do a circumcision on a baby, they say, we're going to operate on tomorrow. It's an operation. It takes place. God cuts that soul loose from that flesh. You say, man, I feel different. I feel like a new man. I feel clean. God cleans you, washes you. Your soul can't sin. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Man, I didn't get that for years after I got saved. I wasn't sure if I was saved or lost at times. I mean, I knew I was saved, but I just, at times you think, did I mess up? Because I knew I messed up. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh. Before a man was saved, if you're in here, you're not saved. The Bible says you're a dead man. Right. If you're not saved, you're a dead man now. You're good as in hell. You can change that. Amen. Making the right decision. But it says you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities. I mean, he went down and kicked butt. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He made a show of them openly. He came out. I was at the tomb. I seen that tomb when they rolled the stone away. He came out victorious. And it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, drink, so on. So it goes on. But Jesus Christ did operation on it. You got saved. I didn't understand all this when I got saved. I knew I was saved, but at times I thought, well, did I lose it? Did I get it? What happened? Because I had friends of mine telling me, oh, you can't be saved forever. You can't know that. Ronnie Dan, well, I was one of them. He was telling me, you can't be saved forever. Talk to my uncle. I said, I don't want to talk to your uncle. So if you're saved, you're saved forever. Everlasting, yeah.
Ephesians 2:8-9.
Yeah, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Look at this thing. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even in them that believed on his name. Look what it says. Mark this in your Bible. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, look what it says. Now are we the sons of God. And doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be like him, have a brand new body. See, your soul is protected, sealed, and what happens is God's going to change your body, these vile bodies, and fashion like on his glorious body. We're going to have a body just like his. And it says, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look what this Bible says. It says, and every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Isn't that something? I'm glad. I'm glad I believe the book. I'm glad I got eternal security. And like I told Willie, I said, if that's what it takes for you to stay right, fine. But you always run around thinking, am I really saved? Did I really get saved? Or did I lose it? I don't worry about that. It's just like when you were born in your family, you went to your house, you didn't have to worry, am I their children or child? You said, well, you could have been adopted. We are adopted. Amen. We are adopted in the beloved. We got adopted in Jesus Christ. Somebody find me that verse. I can't think of the verse. Romans 8, I think it is. Romans 8, yeah. It's Romans 8, I believe. 8:15. Yeah, 8:15. It says, or back up verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. I don't have to fear about going to hell. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You can cry out to the Father, and he hears you. I remember many times going, Father! My nephew used to be out in the trailer. I could hear him saying, because he never knew who his father was. And he got saved, and I remember him saying, Father! Yelling it in the trailer. And he would yell, Father. And the Spirit, it says, we can cry, Abba, Father. Spirit of adoption. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. All right. That's on eternal security. There's a lot more on it. A lot more verses on eternal security. I'm saved forever. I'm so saved, but that is pitiful. Amen. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Yes, sir. Yeah. 4:30? Ephesians 4 and 5. Amen. Well, I'll go back to it and look at Ephesians 4 and 4 and 5. It says, there is one body there and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. I like that. It says, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. You got the complete package, man. And one day when the Lord comes back, we're going to go out of here and be completed. Now, my flesh is not saved. Your flesh is not saved. This flesh right here, just remember this. Your flesh hates God. My flesh hates God. And a new man inside me tells this thing what to do, and sometimes this thing tells the new man, this is what we're going to do. And this flesh does not like God. This flesh doesn't want to go to church. This flesh is always tired. It don't want to pray. It don't want to read the Bible. This flesh. But the new man inside me wants to do those things. And you got to do them no matter what, because even though your flesh says no. Sunday night, it comes up Sunday night, your flesh is going to say, oh, man, I'm too tired. You're just wore out. You just need to stay home and take it easy. That's what your flesh says. Wednesday night comes around, you just come from work, and your flesh will say, oh, come on, it's Wednesday night. You know, these people are going to say the same old prayer request. You know, they're going to say the same thing. You get sick and tired of hearing the same thing all the time. You know, why don't you just stay home? You can pray just as well at home as you do at church. Your flesh will tell you that stuff. And you'll start agreeing with it. You'll start saying, yeah, you know what? You're right. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. And when you come to church, you always say, man, I'm glad I came. I feel better because I came. It's just something about it. And we had people driving Jesse and Derek drive all the way from Denton every Wednesday, every Sunday. Bunch of weirdos, yeah. And she works a job, he works a job, and they come to church anyway. Some people live 5 minutes from the church or less, and they won't come.
That's right.
Yep. I'm just too tired. I remember going to Washington, D.C., driving back from Washington, D.C., and I come home, run, jump in the shower, and come to church. And I've been doing that 30-something. I'm in church. If I'm not here, I wasn't in church one Wednesday night. I had to go through a procedure, and I wasn't here a couple months ago. And I had to go through the procedure, and I had to prepare. You had to drink that stuff, you know, go through the. Yeah, and I couldn't come to church. I said, well, I'm going to come to church. Linda said, you ain't going to be able to make it. And she was right. I would have been in the bathroom here. I had a microphone in the bathroom going, look, well, turn in your Bible. Yeah. But my grandkids, now listen, my grandkids seen I wasn't here. I was in the bedroom. They got home. They ran in my room crying. They all ran in there. They got down and they started praying over me. They thought I was dying. And they were in there praying. They crying. I mean, crying. And like got me crying. They were saying, oh, God, watch over Papa. And they were saying, you know, he's sick. And I wasn't sick. I was just drinking this stuff that I had to. But that touched my heart, man. When you're not in church, it affects people.
Amen.
If that's because you're tired, everybody's tired. Matter of fact, how many of y'all tired right now?
Amen.
We just had a week revival, and my wife and I, we had vacation Bible school before that, and then we went to Texas, and then Oklahoma. You say, oh, you was on vacation. No, I was preaching. When I'm on preaching, I'm not on vacation. I'm more tense then than I am when I'm home. Because I'm praying, Lord, help me to help these people. I go visit people, try to talk to people. And then we get back here, and then revival starts. And we're up, you know, till late night. And we still haven't caught up on sleep. Still haven't got it. But anyway, I'm not complaining. I'm thanking God that we can do something. Amen. I'd rather wear out than rust out. And a lot of Christians are rusting out, man. They ain't going to know nothing. They're going to sit around, and they're going to harden up. Their body's going to harden up, and then they're going to, times when they wish they could go to church, they ain't going to be able to. And so I don't want to do that. Amen. All right, Father, thank you, God, for this time together this morning. I pray, God, bless your word as we studied it and help us to be encouraged by it. And, Lord, I pray, God, you just, Father, help my brothers and sisters today and save that lost soul nearest hell today. Help somebody come in today looking for truth. And the truth will set them free.